We renewed our kitchen some years ago. Not just a little paint job and cleaning it up and washing up like we've all done. Some Kills paint on there and, you know, cover up the stains and get things going. We tore everything out. Everything came out. It was gutted and stripped down to the bare bones. Cabinets, appliances, the sink, the electrical plumbing, HVAC, even the soffits, you know, that that are built above the cabinets to make it look, you know, formed into the walls and the ceiling. Took those out, and I was there for that when he took those out. Skeletons of mice, nuts, and other icky things. Ugh. And there was no insulation back in the late 19th century, an old home. So, you know, the wind just blew through that kitchen, the walls, but newspapers lined the, you know, so we pulled all those out. I don't know if we really saved any of those, Lise, or no? We didn't save any of those? Okay. I think they smelled pretty bad. But the renovation took some time. When you start something like that, it's like, when is he going to get done with this? When are we going to get our kitchen back? But it took time. But when it was finished, we had all things new. It was completed. All the old stuff gone, the new appliances, sink and counter and everything. You know, it was all new. A new kitchen. Did you know that God's redemptive work is completed for us? On our behalf, everything has been done. All that Jesus came to do to deal with about our salvation and the debt of sin, it's finished. It's accomplished. It's done. Jesus even said on the cross as he's dying, it is finished. It is finished. And because of your baptism, you too have died. The old sin nature has been buried with Christ. You've been raised with Christ in his resurrection. Our status and standing before God is completed as we believe in faith. From an enemy of God to a child of God. It's done, done, done. Saved by grace through faith. And verse 1 says, since then you've been raised with Christ. Since then, this work is completed. That's an amazing, eternity-changing phrase that demands our attention. Since then, it is because of Jesus that we are positioned to fellowship with God, to draw strength from that reality as a child of God, and so to live in obedience and be transformed. This is where it's going, folks. To be transformed into the person God created us to be. For today, your spiritual renovation and mine, it's unfinished. The work of salvation is complete, but God's work on us, on you and me, it's unfinished. I think we'd agree with that, right? What? Wait a minute. God's done with me. No, he's not. He loves us too much to leave us the way we are. A lifelong process. It takes time. When are you going to be done with me, God? Well, Pastor Tim, maybe it's at your last breath. Because I love you too much to leave you the way you are. And you have work to do for me. The resources are there for the refurbishing. The plans are drawn up. The pattern of our renewal is the character of Jesus Christ. To become more and more like Jesus. As we interact with one another, as we worship, as we reach out, to be more and more like Jesus. To be more and more like Jesus, what does that mean for us? Well, we may have to determine that more specifically. But it's time to have this done. Restoration down to the bare bones. I don't know about you, but the last 7, 8, 9 months, maybe a year, it feels like my spiritual house, not my literal physical house. Stay with me here. My spiritual house is being leveled. Most of you know there's some circumstances going on in the family, extended family. It just layers on top of each other. And, you know, you come to a point that you realize that there's potential for just total drainage of your strength. And God seems to be okay with that. To get to the end of oneself. I'm not saying I'm there, but you've been in some of those circumstances. There's a lot going on within the life of the church. It's like, how can I do this? Where's the strength going to come from? And I believe God is using this for my renovation. He allows us to get to the end of ourselves. There. Now I can use you. You're finding the end of yourself. You can't do this on your own. Says, good, now we can get somewhere. God is the rock, the foundation. So any pride, self-sufficiency, and independent spirit must be eradicated down to the bare bones. And God is enough. God is enough. I keep hearing that Lauren Daigle song. Even on America's Got Talent, you know, it doesn't talk about a lot about God in it. I don't know the name of it. You Say Who I Am, or I don't know what it is. But she talks about thinking that she's not enough. Well, God is enough. God is enough. I am His workmanship. You are too. And the renovation starts today. Or it continues. Maybe there's been some work and we kind of shut it down. Well, resources are depleted. No, with God, the resources are already there. The renovation continues today. We are scheduled. Today it starts. First things first, in verses 1 and 2, it says, set your mind on the things above. You know, as we're being renewed in the true knowledge of God and of Christ. Set your mind on the things above. Why is this important? Well, Romans 12:2, Paul told us there that, you know, to be transformed, you begin with your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You're thinking, where are we setting our thoughts? And also, it is necessary if we want to be able to live according to the Spirit, Romans 8. But how do we set our mind on those things above? How do we seek those things which are above? Well, it's God's Word. Directing our attention, our mind to God's Word. That's nothing new, but we need to dwell there. We need to let the Word of Christ dwell in us richly. Peggy, great reading today. Colossians, she ended at verse 14. We could have read all the way to then. Many, many wedding ceremonies read this passage all the way to the end. But let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. You know, being enriched by the Word of God and Christ Himself. All throughout the Bible, the Old Testament foreshadows and tells about Jesus. With 300 some prophecies about Him. The teachings in the gospel, His life, His ministry, death and resurrection. The early church, the book of Acts, as the mission explodes. If you've not spent any time there about what church life can do and be about and just get out of the way and see what God can do, that's the book of Acts. The Spirit moving. And the teachings like in today's passage continue in the epistles that Christ is teaching the church. And the book of Revelation, the encouragement. Victory and vindication. How many are waiting for some kind of vindication? How long, Lord? Well, the victory and vindication is there in Revelation. Further reasons to seek those things above and set our mind on those things above. In verse 3 it says, we died. We died and that sets us seeking. But when we live as if we're still alive, as the old nature is still alive, we don't seek. We died in our baptism, a burial into His death. We were crucified with Christ in our baptism. We died to sin that we might be free and now live for Christ, with Christ. And we were also raised with Christ. Since then, you've been raised with Christ. Since then, in the resurrection, you've been raised with Christ. The old is gone, the new has come. And I love in verse 1. Try and get your mind and your heart and your worship and vocation around all this. Keep on seeking the things above. Why? Because that is where Christ is seated, at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Say, what, where? Up there? No. Wherever Christ is present, where two or three are present, he is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, the authority of God. We are seated with Christ by faith because of our baptism. So we keep on seeking daily, weekly, pondering the Lord, his love for us, our identity in him. We embrace our position because of Jesus Christ. We get caught up into our worship today as we come to the table to continue to worship, to receive the sacrament, meditate on his word, come boldly to the throne of grace, where there is grace and mercy and healing and transformation. And further reasons to seek the things above. We are hidden with Christ and God. And this is where it all comes together. And then Paul gives us some things to do, to put up, off and put on. And then we'll have our communion time. Our life is hidden with Christ and God. In Galatians 2:20, Paul said this, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I bet he claimed that and prayed it every day. When we start behaving like the world, when we start behaving in our old nature and mistreating people and ones we love and or whoever, we got to start claiming that. No, I do not live like that. I am crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that live, but the character of Christ comes out of me to love and to forgive and to bear with and to step out in faith and even sing a song like the guys today. That's a bold step of faith. Amen to our brothers. I was in city and regional planning, my major. Truth be told, I was in architecture and I was failing civil engineering. Yeah, that's humbling, huh? So I got into city and regional planning. Apparently, you don't need civil engineering to be a city and regional planner. So, but that's another story. But we did a lot of drawing up of plans, regional plans. We visited farms and hog farms, and we saw cows and chickens. And I had a friend from Africa, inner city, or a city guy from Kenya, maybe Nairobi. And he'd never been on a farm. I thought, what, you're from Africa and you've never been on a farm? And he was squealing, just all the smells and all the stinks. And it was just hilarious. But that's not why I'm telling this. But we, you know, we did regional plans. We did neighborhoods, homes, apartments. And we did a lot of plans for kitchens. You need to have a functional kitchen. So we would be up all night drawing little kitchens and do a variety of different patterns. But make sure it's functional, because when you come in with your groceries, you need a counter to put it on. Is the sink right there? Is the fridge right there? And you know, when you bring your garbage out of the kitchen, are you going to walk through the living room and family room? So things like that. And Professor Schleiermacher, very German, he knew Mies van der Rohe, who founded Illinois Institute of Technology, where I went, and where less is more. But he said, students, you need to have 3 feet minimum of counter space in your kitchens. I don't see 3 feet in your kitchens. Well, how do we fit it all in? No, you have to have 3 feet of counter space. Because it takes 3 feet of counter space to make an apple pie. He was literal about that. But it made a point. You have to have more counter space. Not just for pie, but to roll out the dough, he would say. I think he was playing with us. I don't know. I did make an apple pie in eighth grade, though, I think. And you needed a big space to roll out the dough. But symbolically, is there enough space, margin in my life, in your life, for God to work? Enough openness to the Lord's will for you and me to be functional for the kingdom? I believe there is, and may the Lord stretch us even more. Will we let him get us down to the bare bones? yes, Lord, but you promised to be there to renovate, to encourage. Well, Paul is encouraging us to make our to live our lives and make our lives about Christ. Focus on the things above, where Christ is. He is the center of it all. He is the object of our worship and our work. If we make him our top priority, seeking his kingdom will lack nothing. But how do I do that a little more specifically? Well, Paul has a few things listed here, issues and areas of our life that we should put off. And it's not limited to these things, but this church and these people in Colossae, they must have had quite an old nature and the things that are listed here. What were they involved in? You can't even mention words like that Peg was reading in church, can you? But the point is what we are to put on. Put these things off. They're dead already. Why pick them back up? They're dead in Christ. Well, because we're human. You know? So in verses 5 through 11, we're instructed to put to death, lay aside whatever belongs to our earthly nature. If we're focused on living our priorities for Christ, who is seated at the right hand of God the Father, of serving Jesus, we no longer need our old priorities, desires, and self-centeredness. So just briefly, we're to put to death or put off the carnal sins or the sensual sins. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire. You know, the lustful living, the desire for what is forbidden. That sounds more like a guy's problem, but I think it goes on both sides. Sisters and brothers, you know. Maybe we live like that, life like that before. That's not right. So the lust of the flesh, but also the lust of the eyes. And I think this is the Gospel of Luke was about greed, about what do we covet? You know, the man, he built bigger barns and just saved everything. He said, now I can be comfortable. But that greedy desire to have more. You know, what is it, money? Is it material things? Thursday, Christian atheist class was about greed, about money, about idols. Do we use God and serve our money, or do we serve God using our money? Did I just say the same thing? I don't know. We want to serve God with our using our money. But not just the carnal sins, but put off the social sins. I think this is where it hits. You know, as God is working powerfully in a group of people like a church, or if you've been part of something powerful, I think God is ready to do some incredible things. There's a little tension and stress, and there's kind of rubbing the wrong way within our own existence here. We need to be reminded that with Christ we are united. His mission is united. So put off the social sins. Sins of the emotions, anger, wrath, malice. You know, let the politicians deal with that, right? Ill will, desire to injure. Sins of the tongue. Oh, I guess it's more about the politicians. Slander, speech, injurious to another's good name. Filthy language, lying, speaking deliberate falsehoods. Oh, again, it's the politicians. Leave that to them. That's not in the church. Let us treat the old self, the old nature as dead. When we fail, you know, struggle it. Confess it. God is ready. Lord, you know, forgive me. Even today as we come to the table. Lord, forgive me. You know, Lord. You know. Forgive me. Repent. Turn away from it, the lifestyle, to God. He is merciful. He is faithful. In verses 10 and 11, he encourages us to put on the new self. It takes a while to get there. This new renovation. The old is gone. The new has come. Put on the new self. In fact, he's saying you have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the true knowledge according to God's image. A renewal, and that word renewal there could be renovated. Renovation. A renewal is a renovation. Yes, a literal translation of renewed, used twice there in 10:11, is renovation. And what is the fullness of that putting on the new self? Well, it's a renewal in which there is no distinction, no division in the family of God. There's only unity, for Christ is all and in all. So our new self is being renovated. And what does Paul go on to mention? These Christ-like qualities. And I believe there is so much of this here in our church family, and has been for years. And going out from this place, this is the heart of who we are in Christ's mission. Let me just read this. As those who've been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion and kindness and humility, gentleness and patience, bearing with one another, forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against another, just as the Lord has forgiven you. And beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. As we come to the Lord's table, we're going to sing a song. It's our affirmation of faith in just a little bit. I know some of you will need to get up here, so I'll let you do that. But I have a few questions I want to ask as we get ready for that. What must you do? And this is for me too. What must we do to make a change in our life that Jesus would be the main priority? Our main priority. The main priority of our life. What aspects of our old nature do we battle? How should we encounter them? Well, start today in the communion time. Confession. Come boldly to the throne of grace. What virtues of Christ and all those positive characteristics listed in the passage come easily? Yeah, I'm good at this and this, but which ones are harder? Where's the opening for spiritual growth? Let us keep on seeking, set our mind on the things above, where Christ is seated. Let us put on the new self, especially love. We are one in the Spirit. Yes, we are one in the Spirit. And let me just offer the call to communion, and then we'll have our song of affirmation in Christ alone. It is now our sacred privilege to celebrate the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. All who